And subtle, too.
This is really very exciting for me. I've been working in the field of migrant health for 19 years now. And so the joy for me is that you get to see new researchers, new organizers, as well as people who've been your longtime friends and longtime supporters of the hard work that we've all been trying to do. And so the next presentation is Employment Conditions, Farm Worker Psychosocial Stress, and Quality of Life by Louise Ward. And Louise has been just dedicated to these issues for quite a while, and I'm always grateful to have her speaking or even in the audience. Louise.
Thank you, Dale. I'm Louise Ward. I'm a nurse. And how I came to this all is sort of a long story, but I'll condense it. I was asked to do migrant Head Start physicals for a group of children up in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I did that 1 year and said, oh, I've got to get a piece of this for my students. And for the subsequent, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I took nurse practitioner students into migrant farm worker camps. It grew into a mobile unit. We got medical residents, drug samples, et cetera, et cetera. And I was hooked. So that's how I came to this work. I guess I'm supposed to have a slide that says I have no financial interest in this, but I don't. Take my word for it.
You're supposed to have a slide.
I didn't see that. Anyway, I don't.
Well, we don't.
We'll show it to everybody. Make sure everybody. Today, what I'm reporting today is really just a little study that a public health student and I did. It was funded by the College of Nursing and Health Professions at Drexel. And it's sort of a no-brainer, but the reason I did it was because I didn't see all that much hard data in the literature. So we know that reducing workplace stress is an objective of Healthy People 2010, and previous research indicates that there's a lot of, I mean, this is, again, a no-brainer, but a lot of psychosocial stress among farm workers. Some people seem to think that this is related to poorer health, and some people seem to think that it's not. And I wondered if that was because of the measure of health that people were using. Most people use the single question, which we know is a valid way to measure health, but the single question, how would you rate your health, good, fair, poor, whatever, excellent, good, fair, poor, I guess it is. And I wanted to use a different measure and see if that worked for our farm workers where we are. So the purpose of the study was to explore farm worker lifestyle specific psychosocial stress, and you know, that's not the physical stress so much as the emotional stress, and its relationship to health related quality of life in a sample of Spanish speaking Latino migrant farm workers. We interviewed 80 migrant farm workers. Two were African-American and three were women, and because of that just didn't compute, so we just cut it down to 75. And we interviewed in Spanish with face-to-face interviews. We did this in southeastern Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, and in Maryland. And people around me kept saying, how on earth are you going to find farm workers? And I said, have you driven through New Jersey in the summertime? You know, have you seen apple picking happening? I mean, people just really, truly don't see people. And especially, I think, in the Northeast, around Philadelphia, where they don't expect to see them. I said, well, how do you think those blueberries get off the bush? And they're, oh, huh. And we did the conventional thing of interviewing people after work in locations of their choosing. We used the Migrant Farm Worker Stress Inventory, which was developed in the Midwest stream, and consists of 39 situations that had been identified in qualitative research by Hovey and Magana as stressful. And the respondents rate each item as have not experienced, to extremely stressful. Our IRB required that we remove the two items that referred to, even obliquely, legal status, and so we wound up with 37 items for the stress inventory. And, you know, we said, gee, those are two questions we'd really like to have, and they said, that's really too bad. So, you know, we could either not do the study or we could not do those two questions. And we got a very good alpha for this survey in our study. The other thing we used was the SF-36, which is very widely known, 36 questions. And one of the things we were looking at was whether these questions were acceptable for farm workers or whether they might be at too esoteric a level. But it worked out just fine. The SF-36, of course, is widely validated, tested. It's available in a bazillion languages, including Spanish for Mexicans, which is what we used. And our alphas for this they were all reasonably good. So, findings. The mean age in our sample was 33, almost 34 years old, with a range of 16 to 69. Most of our guys had a grade 8 or lower education, and they'd been in the U.S. as farm workers between 2 weeks and 35 years, with an average of 5. 72% of them were married or living as married, and approximately half the sample were employed with H-2A visas. That was actually an accident. We had so much trouble with the IRB that we didn't get approval until September, and September in Pennsylvania is running out of time. So we were scrambling, and we had this very, very helpful outreach worker who said, oh, well, you know, this camp is wonderful. They'll welcome you. And we said, terrific. And they were. They lined up for us, and they were terrific. And then about halfway through, we realized, oh, my gosh, these are not like follow-the-crop type folks like we're used to. These are our H-2A workers. So anyway, about half our sample we interviewed in that one camp because they were so helpful. So our findings. Not surprisingly, we found that, this is the items in particular that reflected the highest levels of stress. The first one, the one that was a very popular and stressful item, it's difficult to be away from family members. The second one, I have difficulties understanding other people when they speak English. It bothers me when other people use drugs. It's difficult for me to be away from friends, and I have difficulty communicating in English. And when we looked at stress and health-related quality of life, there were really no surprises here. Remembering that the stress scale, a high number on the stress scale means more stress, and a high level on the health-related quality of life measure is good health. We had negative correlations here, which were quite moderate, especially with mental health. The SF-36 can also be split in two, into a physical composite scale and a mental composite scale. And the physical composite scale was strongly associated with stress subscales that related to work. And such items were, sometimes I have difficulty finding a job, at times I cannot buy things I want because I make little money, and because of farm work, I do not have time to get things done after work. And this was, this particular item really resounded with me because I remembered being in the camps in our mobile unit, and it was, of course, no one showed up until it was pitch black, and tomatoes, you know, ripen late in the season, so it was getting dark earlier and earlier. So it's probably about 8 o'clock at night. A woman came on the van, and she said, how long do you think I'll have to wait? Because I still have to get home and make dinner for my family, and we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, my immediate response was, golly, it sounds like pizza to me. But, of course, living where they did and with their incomes, that wasn't an option. So I really sympathized with that. And I've always wondered just exactly how that plays out. In any case, as I said, we had this unexpected division in our sample that half were employed by this H2A employer. And we found out, again, just serendipitous, that this particular employer, not that all H2A workers or employers are like this by any means, but this particular employer had won all sorts of awards for his employment practices. And the workers were dedicated. They came back year after year. And he had profit sharing, and it was just a great place to work. So we thought, well, let's see if there's a difference in stress levels or health condition between those employed by the good employer and others. And we didn't know if the others might be good as well. Judging from their housing conditions, we could guess that they were not as good employers. But so keep in mind that it's known good employment practices versus, who knows, unknown. And our findings were that general health, I'm calling them follow the crop because we don't know that they were bad employer. The unknown employment situations had significantly higher stress, and they also had significantly poorer physical and mental health on the SF-36. Now, is this a cause-effect relationship? We can't say that. It's simply an observation that in a case where we knew that the employer was a good employer, the workers fared better. Most of the subscales in the SF-36 demonstrated a similar pattern. Bless you. And the stress inventory questions related to work, environment, and institutions also reflected advantages for those with known good conditions, such as the items were things like, I have to work in bad weather, I don't have reliable transportation, the bathroom conditions are bad, I do not have adequate medical care, I have difficulty finding a place to live, migrating to this country was difficult. Well, obviously, if you're an H-2A employee, migrating wasn't so difficult because you came in legally. But on all these items, the good employer and others like them, the good employer had the employees with the known good employer had lower stress levels. Similarities were that those stressors related to interpersonal relationships, isolation, and marriage in the family were really common to all the farm workers, because no matter how good the bathroom conditions were or whether they had to work in the rain, they still missed their families and friends. And these items were also associated with poor health-related quality of life. And some examples of the items are here. Because I feel isolated, I find it hard to meet people. I find it difficult to talk about my feelings to other people. I saw when we were conducting the interviews an awful lot of that really resonated with a lot of the folks we were interviewing. And I worry about my children's education. So, in summary, higher psychosocial stress levels were associated with poorer health-related quality of life. This is, again, not rocket science, but we have data now. And stress levels were lower and health-related quality of life was higher when workers experienced good working conditions. Not a cause and effect relationship. And I don't think I've got limitations here, but I should mention some very notable limitations, which is convenience sample. We don't know about the working conditions of that other group, that composite group. Certainly not even a representative convenience sample, because we were scrambling at the end of the season. Small sample size, so it has many limitations. However, I do think it tells us something that is valuable. I want to be sure you understand that it's not an endorsement of guest worker programs, but rather an endorsement of good working conditions. And we should keep in mind that separation of family and friends, I think that may be more pronounced on the East Coast than on the West Coast. It's my sense. I'm not sure of that. But it just tears people apart. Future directions, how can feelings of isolation and separation be reduced? How can farm worker advocates and agricultural employers work together to improve working and living conditions? And how can we get some of these best practices and spread them evenly through the employment community? And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.